Hey, everybody.
You liking a juice?
You liking a juice? You liking a...
He watched a movie.
Oh, by the way, speaking of intros and outros, first off, thankfully, this episode will be 100% less ice clinking. Thank you, George, for that last week.
Oh, yeah. I switched back to beer.
But anyway, also...
With 100% intros, more beer opening.
We gotta cover some things because, one... if you listen to our last episode, we did the thing where we pulled stuff out of the hat and we presaged what the next movie was going to be. But this movie, as you've seen when you clicked on the link, isn't any of those movies. We tried to find some, we couldn't, and then we found this on Netflix and we said we have to see this.
I'm surprised we couldn't find Delgo.
I could find the Spanish version of Delgo, but I couldn't find the American version. I don't know why. And I didn't try hard to look for Corky Romano. I probably could have found it, but I found this first. But and anyway... the other bit of thing is I also suggest that, again, if you listen to Out of Bounds, I think instead of Get Off the Shed, our new sign-off should be Lead Rain, Lamar. Lead motherfucking rain.
Lead Rain.
Or Let Rain.
Let Rain.
Let Rain, Lamar. I think that's a much better sign-off.
That's a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Transition. This was a piece of shit. But except for the... I would recommend... This is on Netflix, so you can watch it for free.
Yes. I think this is the first one we've done that's on Netflix.
No, Dead Heat's on Netflix.
Oh, that's right.
So you can watch this movie for free. I would recommend watching the first 5 minutes and then the last 10 minutes.
Well, is it the kind of thing, though, where the insanity of the last 10 minutes...
I don't think so. I don't think...
You need it to build?
I think if you watch the last 10 minutes of this movie, it's going to be better that you didn't sit through an hour of... What the hell?
It's like non-comedy.
It's like a Prince and a Pauper story, but the people they don't know who they are.
Okay, but I don't want to get on a roll just yet because we have some news before we even get to the movie. We have some SNL news. Remember, we're an SNL podcast.
Yeah.
We tend to forget that. But
you got rid of all my favorite people.
Oh yeah, I know how much you love Noel Wells.
I didn't love Noel, but I...
Yeah, we did.
Brooks Whelan got fired.
John Milheiser
and Nassim Pedrad.
Well, she left, presumably, for the other show she's going to be on, Mulaney.
Yeah, but they got rid of all my favorites, so... Kenan Thompson, still on the show.
Well, he may just have not announced he's leaving yet.
All my favorites,
and
gone.
Presumably there will be new people that might be your new favorites.
That's true.
But anyway.
This is my favorite when SNL has cast changes. Those are always my favorite, just for the history of it. I go like, oh. And I was like, but I was so excited. They hired all these six new people, and I was so excited to see them. They didn't give them a chance to do anything, and then they just get rid of them.
Well, half of them, yeah.
I don't think... John Milheiser and Noel Wells, I don't think anyone in history has had less of a season on SNL.
Oh, yeah. Well, like,
they got one sketch.
How many sketches was Siobhan Fallon in?
She had the Delta 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 Girls.
Oh, I guess.
I mean, and, there's like
Finesse Mitchell.
He was on like for 2 years or something.
No, I'm not thinking of Finesse Mitchell. Who am I thinking of? The black guy that was only on for one season?
There was Jerry Minor.
No, not Jerry Minor.
He got a recurring character. Dean Edwards.
I think I'm thinking of Dean Edwards.
Yeah, he was more of an impressionist, so all his stuff was like... Hey, Chris Tucker's in this scene. Come on, Chris Tucker.
I'm Chris Tucker.
But anyway, that was some news, and we're sad about it. But have they ever gotten rid of a significant number of cast members and not added any?
Yeah. I mean, they've gotten rid of people.
Like, between seasons, I mean.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like, is there a chance that it'll be the same cast, just minus these people?
Probably. I can't imagine they'd add anybody else.
I think they would at least add one other new person, because they keep saying it's a rebuilding year, so...
Yeah, but I think the main problem with the show is, right now, is that they have too many people.
Oh, well.
So I think they're just trimming the fat and keeping the people they like.
I guess.
I guess Kenan Thompson signed, like, a million-year contract, so he's never going anywhere.
Well, you've talked about that. He said once you get to cast member status, it's basically up to you to leave.
That's what I've heard. But, I mean, they can always... I mean, it's a show.
Well, there's no reason...
They can say, get the hell out of here!
They have no real reason to fire him. I mean, it's not like he's done anything.
On YouTube, I subscribe to Saturday Night Live's channel. And they've been doing this thing of, the cast members going, what was your favorite season 39 moment? And then so they had Brooks Wheelan on there, and I can't remember what his was.
Was it after he got fired?
No, it must have been before. But they were having all these people, what's my favorite season 39 moment? And then they show the clip. And then they had Kenan Thompson going, my favorite season 39 moment was when I shot the promos with Andy G. Samberg. They just show his promo with Andy Samberg. It's like, yeah, that was pretty good. You contributed a lot to the show with that promo that you did.
Well, what's he going to say? My favorite moment was when I stared into the camera and smiled. What sketch was that? Every sketch. But okay, but anyway, pass
they
that.
They had some cute ones. I liked Bobby Moynihan's. He was like, my favorite moment was when we filmed Boy Dance Party, and I just look over and Bruce Willis is doing the curly running around on the side on the floor. And he's like, I was just in that moment going, that's Bruce Willis on the floor. I like Bobby Moynihan. He's very genuine. He seems he likes to be there.
Yeah. Oh, and if you hear hammering, that's because there's someone right outside our window hammering.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's coming up on the mic. But anyway, so there was that. But we also saw this fucking movie. I saw the cover for it, and it's Chris Kattan holding up himself in a straitjacket.
I was excited.
There's no fucking way we're not watching this.
Yeah, if you see the poster for Crazy Enough.
Crazy Enough is the title.
And I did not, like, I was thinking, like, through the movie, because the movie gives you a lot of time to just sit and be with your thoughts, because
you're certainly not laughing at any of it.
For about an hour of the movie, nothing happens, and there seems to be no stakes. So you're just kind of sitting there, and I'm going, what the hell does that mean, crazy enough? And I'm trying to think of, like, well, they've already had, like, Stir Crazy. I'm sure there's a movie called, like, Going Mad or Crazy Switch. And I'm like, there should have been a better name for this movie. But then Chris Kattan says, this just might be crazy enough. And I go, oh, okay. That's called something.
Is that hanging a lampshade on it?
No.
Oh, is there something specific?
Yeah, there's like a playwriting term where, like,
you put the title of your thing. Well, they did it in Out of Bounds.
Yeah, but like,
You're out of bounds, kid.
When Blanche DuBois says, like, I came here on a streetcar named Desire. You're supposed to go like, oh, this is the scene that sort of encapsulates the whole movie, I guess, or the whole play. So you're supposed to really pay attention to that. That one's just him and a bunch of crazy people. He gives them, like, Burger King maps, and he goes, just crazy enough. Not even like that. Chris Kattan looks like, before every take, he was given horrible news. And I'm guessing the horrible news was, you're in this movie.
I was going to say that, because, yeah, he doesn't seem like, one, he wants to be there. He doesn't seem like he likes doing what he's doing, or he just seems like a mean person. Like,
and he wrote this, apparently.
Did he really?
There were three credited writers. One was Chris Kattan, and I was thinking as the movie went along, I was like, I wonder if two guys wrote this and then they just credited Chris Kattan, because obviously all of his stuff is ad lib,
and not like you think of like Will Ferrell movies. You know how he always ad libs and how funny it is. It's like that, except not funny at all.
No, every time, there's a lot of exasperated Chris Kattan, and then he just goes like, what is this? Why don't you go play with your Teletubbies and go take a nap? What? I can't, I'm not in this. I'm like, I can't remember any of them.
Oh, well, I wrote down one.
There were so many, like, movie references, pop culture references in his rants.
Oh, yeah. Well, because a lot of them, like, there was the one guy that was all, like, book references and then, like, he starts talking about Star Trek.
I liked that. That was the one part of this movie I genuinely liked.
I want to do one line where he's got this girl that's with him. And we're not even getting to the movie yet, but he's got this girl that's with him in the asylum. And he's in a straitjacket. And she goes, did they put you in a diaper? And I think she's referring to the straitjacket. And he goes, yeah, because I poop through my pores. That's why they call me Porp?
No, Poor Pooper.
Poor Pooper. That's why they call me Poor Pooper.
And then she lifts him up and he's like, be careful of the poop.
What? And it's like, that's an ad lib, but you know you have to actually, like, be amusing in some capacity. Oh my god, Poor Pooper.
Okay, try to explain the plot of this movie.
Okay, well, it starts with a delightful Flash cartoon.
Yeah, I would recommend watching that. Okay, so
and it ends with the
here's the main problem with the movie. The basic story is Chris Kattan has a twin brother. They're separated at birth. They don't know they have twin brothers. One's crazy, one's not.
Well, no, one, like, okay, because it's all in the cartoon, and they leave these two babies on this orphanage step. He lifts up one, he goes, oh, this is a baby. He lifts up one, but this baby sort of like
he's got blinking. Like crazy eyes.
He's got like a lazy eye. Not even crazy, just like one eye's kind of fucked up. So he's like, fuck this baby. He puts it in a car, and then it drives to the insane asylum, and then they leave the baby on that doorstep. Do insane asylums adopt babies?
Well, where did those babies come from?
It's like, clearly that's a fucking crazy baby.
And who, well, it's kind of like...
Let's raise it in our asylum.
It's kind of like Norbit. With its ugly black baby. So the guy brings it up and he's like, oh, that's a fucking crazy eye baby. Better get rid of this. But I'll keep this baby.
But the mental institution adopts the baby, I guess. Because we're meant to assume that that's all canon.
Yeah, I guess he's lived in the mental institution. Because Chris Kattan, he's Fred and Teddy. Teddy's the insane one, Fred's the sane one.
Yeah.
Although, they're both kind of fucking retarded. So I'm like...
For a long time we couldn't tell.
It took like 10 minutes for me to... Until they show Teddy in the insane asylum for me to go, oh, he's the crazy one. Because they're both kind of like...
My thing is, though, if he's just like a ward bodies. Of the asylum, what legal right do they have to keep him there? Shouldn't he have the ability to, like... He wasn't committed to that place. He was just left there.
Well, I really don't understand that.
Because they're like, you gotta stay in your... No, he can just fucking leave at any time.
Well, it's a minimum security insane asylum. So the patients are able to, like, just walk around wherever they want. But then there's parts where the guards are like, get back in your room and stay there. Yeah. You can't be walking here. Well, you let them wander around. They're crazy. Eventually, one's going to wander outside and steal a lawnmower.
Which is the first thing he fucking does.
The first thing, because you think Teddy is, like, maybe a janitor here. Because he's getting in these, like, scrubs. This, like, overall thing. And then they show him riding a motor or a lawnmower. And then they're like, where's Teddy? Oh, my God, you let him out? And I was like, well, you have lax security here with a bunch of crazy people. Yeah, eventually one's going to wander outside. And they're like, ooh, lawnmower. I'm the gardener now. And they kind of set up like he's
always... He creates identity.
Yeah, he's always coming up with things. Because when they have the switch at the end, they're like, yeah, I know you're a doctor. Yesterday you were the gardener. The day before that you were this guy. You're a spaceman.
Okay, but when they first introduce him, though, he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He's like Down syndrome. How could he pass himself off as any of these identities? And more to the point, when he suddenly switches to being incredibly cogent because he switched places with his unknown twin brother, does nobody question, like, why aren't you wetting your pants like you usually do?
Well, there's a with Teddy, he immediately becomes very super smart.
Yeah, he starts out as, like, clearly retarded. Like,
and then, retarded, and then there's one moment where he's, like, really super smart, and then, yeah, no, but with the ward of the state thing, the whole, like, the subplot of the movie, which makes no sense and no one cares about, and then at the end it's supposed to be this triumphant moment with these characters you have no idea who they are.
Give a shit about.
Yeah, there's this girl in the insane asylum, Dolores, who has nothing crazy about her.
Yeah, there's no way you could pass her off as crazy to commit her to an asylum, I don't think.
No, she seems like she's just there.
I think they made some reference to her mother being crazy, so it's like, well, I guess she inherited it.
Right, and I guess she's been in there for a while, but she's turning 18. So the nurse comes in and goes, Dolores is turning 18, we can't keep her here anymore. So then the evil asylum guy has to get papers signed by a doctor saying, yes, she is crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess they can keep people in there before they're 18, but after they're 18, they have to be legally committed there.
Yeah. And also,
because she's leaving. Like, it's like she's graduating from insane
she's
asylum
packing up
school.
And shit, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's my 18th birthday. I said goodbye to Teddy, and I'm leaving tomorrow. And then they're like, oh, you're not leaving. Papers well, got signed.
And for the record, the evil insane asylum head guy is working for her dad, who is, I believe, mayor running for governor?
I think he's an official.
Or some kind of official, but he's running for higher office. And he wants to keep the fact that he had an out-of-wedlock child.
Oh, is she out of wedlock?
Well, yeah, because at the end, remember, he's saying, you know, I couldn't take care of you and my other
family.
Right,
right. Okay, that makes sense. Because he has a wife.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does say that. He's like, I had a family. So I guess, yeah, he fucked this broad. she went crazy.
And her mom died.
And then she died, and so he committed the abomination.
Yeah. Somehow, even though she demonstrates no form of insanity whatsoever.
Like, she's obviously just fine. And was it me? They seem to placate Teddy a lot. Like, they're just letting him run free. Like, even when they catch him with the lawnmower, they're like, Teddy...
Well, they placate Teddy up until the point where he gets replaced with his...
Right!
His sensible brother. And then it's like, fuck you, Teddy, stay in your room.
And then as soon as the switch goes and it's Fred, yeah, it's like, hey, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm a psychiatrist. Get the fuck out of here! Like, dude, you were very cool with him stealing a lawnmower, but when he's... rationally says, hey, I'm a psychiatrist and I'm not supposed to be here. Straightjacket time! Doesn't make any sense. And the reason why the switch happens is the stupidest thing in the world.
Okay, well, let's start from the beginning, because it starts out with Chris Kattan, the sensible, rational Chris Kattan, the good brother. He's a psychiatrist, and he gets called in because, yeah, he says, you gotta sign these papers. He's the guy that's supposed to sign the papers to keep the girl in. He doesn't even know her or what he's signing. He's just doing it. But we find out his family life. His wife has starting her own business, her granola bar business.
She has a granola business.
That she's baking granola bars?
Basically, her business is she gets granola from the store, bakes it, puts it in boxes, and then ships it somewhere.
Well, presumably she's selling it in the same store.
I guess there's a higher, markup for the granola that she's putting together.
Well, it's the mix of ingredients that makes it.
She calls Chris Kattan and goes, I need you to stop by the store. Stop by that grocery store. They have the best granola. They have the best organic granola. So why can't people just go to the store and buy the organic granola? Why do they have to get it from this girl?
But anyway.
Who runs a shady business. She can't seem to get anything together. I gotta pack these boxes full of granola. There's no one here to help me on my big day. My big granola shipping day. I gotta put all these boxes in the car.
But no, but she's got that going on. And the two kids are just annoying guy, little kid, little boy kid, little girl kid. And he, for some reason, at the start of this movie, he lives in the guest house.
Right, cause
they're not separated or divorcing or anything. They're still married. But he just lives in the guest house.
I know, and she has a line once where she's like, you know, I'm really glad you did that. I'm still going to have to ask you to sleep in the guest house tonight. Well, because you see, I was like so weirded out by that. Because, yeah, it starts with you see both brothers in their different places.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of retarded. Because Chris Kattan, Fred, is like trying to wash his hands. But then he has, like, soap everywhere, and he gets soap everywhere, and then his phone rings, so he's, like, answering the phone on the ground, still just covered in soap. I'm like, dude, why can't you just run your hands under the water, get the soap off your hands, dry your hands, pick up your phone,
or answer it. Or just pick up a towel and hold it like that.
Right.
And kind of...
Instead, he, like, drops the phone on the floor, he's answering the phone on the floor. I guess it's an important call, so he's frazzled. But then he, like, walks out of the house, and then just comes in and sits down for breakfast. And I'm like... Where the hell does he live? Doesn't he live with his family? And it's like, oh, no, this is why you're staying in the guest house. They never really say why he's staying in the guest house.
Nor do they really resolve any of the issues that presumably led to him living in the guest house.
No.
They have a shitty marriage, but I guess they're just living with it. And there's nothing that really indicates that they're not going to have a shitty marriage after the fact.
Well, they kiss for the first time in a long time.
I guess.
He goes, I haven't kissed my wife for so many years. And they're like, oh.
Well... They kiss, and then when he pulls away, it's somebody that's a foot taller than him.
Gotta get to that. The last 10 minutes of this movie were very enjoyable for horrible reasons. And now I understand. After seeing the last 10 movies, I understand why they didn't have many scenes with Chris Kattan and Chris Kattan. Because obviously, they did not understand the technology of how to do that. There are no split screens.
I was going to say, there's no split screen shots.
No split screen shots.
And that's not even like an expensive technique. We can do that.
No, I've done it in things I've made. Just in the kitchen. I've made split screen shots. It's very easy to do, actually. You just get a tripod and you cut the screen in half. But the end of the movie is just Chris Kattan talking to Chris Kattan. And he's talking to a guy who's, like, 5 inches taller than him and, like, has these, like, skinny, skinny shoulders. Looks nothing like Chris Kattan from the back. And he also looks like he's wearing a wig. He might have just They might have just gone all, like, they should have just gone all the way for it and just had a guy in just a big bushy beard and a biker jacket. I'm you.
Well, there's one scene where they're all grouped together talking, and you see Chris Kattan in the back, but, like, facing the audience, and then in the foreground you see, like, the incredibly taller Chris Kattan, like, crouching down, like, I'm listening. But, so, yeah, the switch happens because, yeah, he goes to the asylum to sign those papers, and
but why that should have taken a second. He should have just gone into the asylum and taken and signed the papers and been on his way. The asylum that's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Why did he have to stay?
Well, because a truck was driving by and drove past him in a puddle and splashed him. He's like, "Oh my god, oh!" And he's, "Fucking you! Why did you do that?" And so he walks in. He's all wet and gross. So he signs the papers, but he's like, "Do you have a place where I can take a shower in your business?"
He takes a shower.
Clearly, I'm all wet and dirty. Do you have a shower nearby I can use? Because I'm not just going to get back into my car and drive back to my house and do it.
And this is my major question. He brought another suit. So he's wearing a suit to sign the papers. The crazy people papers.
Yeah.
He asks, "Do you have something I can dry my hands with?" She hands him a box of Kleenex. He goes, "That's not going to work." "Well, do you have a bathroom?" "I don't know. I'm just a temp." I think you would probably know where the bathroom is on your first day. And then she immediately goes, "Well, there's a ladies' locker room over there."
That means there's probably logical deduction, there's probably a men's one as well.
So you can take a shower. So he takes a shower, back to his car, brings, like, a dry cleaning bag with another suit in.
Remember the girl, because he takes the kids to the school first, and the girl even asks, "Why do you have another suit?" And he's like, "That's just a suit. I got it." Like, he just sort of, like, brushes it off.
Oh, okay.
It still doesn't make sense. They're like, "Oh, I realized something."
He just goes like, "Oh, that's just for, like, recreational purposes."
Yeah, what the fuck?
Why do you have another suit in here?
Was he going to cheat on his wife if he hadn't gone to this adventure? Like,
so he goes, yeah.
This is my change of clothes so I don't smell like the whores when I come back to my wife who makes me live in the guest house.
Why did he have that other suit?
I don't know.
Why did he have that other suit? And also, why can't he just change into that suit? Why does he have to take a full-on shower where he goes into the locker room? This is a crazy house. This is a mental institution. You don't just take a shower. You can't just walk into a building and go, "Hey, somebody splashed me. Can I, like, take a shower here? Do you have a place where I can, like, shower up?" "Oh, yeah, right over there. Just go in there and take a shower." So he goes and he takes a shower, and he has, like, all of his belongings, like, neatly placed. His other suit is up there. His wallet, his cell phone, everything. He's showering up. Meanwhile,
Teddy is his name. You forgot. One of them is Fred. One of them is Ted. Even though they've never met, their names coincidentally rhyme, much like many
you
twins.
You would think they would be named by two separate people.
Yes.
Because, yeah, we never got into Fred's backstory. What was his upbringing like?
Well, presumably he wasn't raised in an asylum, so I'm guessing it was better.
Who raised him, though?
Does it matter?
No, I guess not. I guess nothing matters. Why is he sleeping in the guest house? How does he not know he has a twin brother?
Well, Who dropped them off? I can see long-lost twin brother. Yeah, I don't believe the cartoon of, "We're just going to adopt him in this mental system." But, I mean, I can see, like, switched at birth or whatever, something shit.
You got, like, two twins, and you go, like, "Oh, I'll keep this one. Oh, this one, I don't like. Get it."
Well, somebody gives them both up for adoption, and they could have just done that.
Right.
But they didn't want to film in another location, so they just did a fucking Flash cartoon.
There are only three locations in this movie. No, there's a couple more, because then you go to the River of 2 Feet. It's insane. So he's in there just showering up. Meanwhile,
Ted comes in.
Teddy.
forgot his name again.
Teddy has to go pee-pee. So he's like, "I really gotta go pee. I gotta go pee so bad. Oh, you know, I gotta go pee-pee." And then, so they go, "Okay, go in there. You got 2 minutes to go take a piss." And then he goes in. He's at the urinal. And then, of course, they have to ADR a fart sound in after he gets finished up pissing. He has to go, oh. And then he's walking away. And then he farts again. It's just another, oh. It doesn't even react. Like, no reaction to the fart. So, yeah. Obviously, they're in the editing room going, God, this movie isn't funny at all. What's funny? Farts are funny! Hey, you got some sound effects of some farts? But we can put that in here!
I like you saying no reaction to the fart. The alternative being that he would have mimed a fart knowing that they're going to put a fart in here. Let me arch my ass a little bit.
Right. Or you could go like, oh, that was the stinky one. You could have Jar Jar Binks'd it. Oh, he's so smelly.
But yeah, anyway, he goes to pee, and then he goes and he sees this pile of clothes, and for no particular reason, starts leafing through the wallet. And he sees his own picture, and he's like, oh my god.
I know.
And what is he thinking in that moment?
I have no idea. I thought it was originally like, he sees himself, and he gets all freaked out, like, oh my god, I'm in this wallet. Because he's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So what would you do if you opened up a wallet and saw your face on another person's driver's license?
You'd Jesus,
oh my god.
I would wait to meet the guy who owns it and go like, what's going on here? You have my face in your wallet.
But then he apparently immediately leaps to the conclusion, there's a guy in the shower there who looks exactly like me. I can use this as my chance to escape.
I'm not going to question why he looks exactly like me.
So I'm just going to steal all his stuff, hide out in the bathroom, and that way when the nurse comes in, sees this guy taking a shower, she'll think he's me, so he'll get thrown into his room, and meanwhile I can just walk out the door. But where's he going to go?
Well, I don't think that's the thing. He's thinking so complexly that he has this plan, but he's not really thinking that far ahead to what happens afterwards.
And then when he gets in the car, he yells at the GPS. I guess they have a Siri thing. He goes, home!
Yeah.
And they go, oh, go turn this way to go home.
And presumably he keeps doing that, even though we don't see it ever again, but he goes to finds the grocery store and the school.
Right.
So I guess he just goes, grocery store, yeah. School!
And then the GPS tells him exactly where to go.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes perfect sense. And then there's an hour of who gives a fuck.
Fucking Catan shtick where, like, he's at the grocery store, and I assume they didn't, like, make the joke where, like, I need a half gallon of milk. But you see him take a gallon of milk and pour half out and measure it.
That was the one part I did enjoy of this
But
movie.
You'd think they would have said, get me a half gallon of milk.
Says something, but he doesn't seem to know. Because, yeah, he takes a gallon of milk. He weighs it on the produce scale, and then he pours half of it out and weighs it again and goes, that's good! I actually like that.
And he seems to, like, he said he was working from a list, but we knew prior to that that Catan, the other guy, never wrote the list.
Because
he was
being
it. Didn't he? He got the paper out, but he never actually wrote anything down, I thought.
Well, that's when he gets splashed by the truck.
Yeah, so he didn't have time.
But he pulls out a list, so I guess he has it. Well, no, because he doesn't. Because when he comes back with the groceries, she's like, what is this? What did you... And he goes, that's the stuff you wanted me to buy. So I guess he wasn't working from a list at all. He just assumed, I can't buy a full gallon of milk. Because he's crazy.
Yeah.
He has that scene where he doesn't know how to separate the grocery carts. And then Colin helps him.
But that's not even
Colin!
Separating the earth, that's not even like, oh my god, he's so crazy, he doesn't know how. Like, they're just stuck. Like, anybody could that could happen to anybody.
Alright, and then he has to get helped by Colin.
Yeah, Colin is, they thought it was the girl, his daughter's boyfriend, but I guess it wasn't. Because in the middle of it, she has another boyfriend who rides a moped.
Okay, Colin. Colin is introduced when he drops the kids off from school. The young boy says, there's your boyfriend. And she goes, no, it's not. So I guess it's this guy who's, like, trying to hang around with her. Because he asks Fred, who's now Ted, hey, can I ask your daughter out to the dance? I was thinking of asking her out.
And Ted doesn't know that Fred has an intense dislike for this boy.
Right. When we were introduced to Colin, Fred goes, you know, you don't have to... Oh, maybe he's talking to Colin. Okay. No, because he goes, like, you know, you don't have to date the first guy you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like this kid.
Yeah,
But then when
you seem to hate Colin. I don't know
why. Colin! Because then when Teddy meets Colin, he's like, come over to our house for dinner! We'll sit down and we'll have dinner together! And so Colin goes, oh, great! And then just like they're at dinner and then fucking Colin's there. And the daughter's like, ew, why did you invite Colin? And guess what? That's the last time you see Colin. He comes in and apologizes. I'm sorry I invited Colin. We'll never mention that kid's name again. Fucking Colin.
He won't come back in any way.
He seems to be a nice kid, that Colin kid.
Whoa.
Much better than Dylan.
Was that even his name?
I believe so.
Fuck, you were paying more attention than I was.
Dylan drives a motorcycle. He's bad news. Yeah. Yes, he's introduced with another boyfriend. Hey, can I go ride on a motorcycle with Dylan? Who's Dylan? Oh, like my boyfriend. Okay. And then he shows up. There's so many, like, just random little plot points of, like, oh, crap, we need a scene where the kid's in trouble. Oh, we need a scene where Teddy, disguised as Fred, saves the kids. But they're both the stupidest thing. Apparently, he's trying to, like, rape her, I guess. Or just,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Get a little kiss. Dylan drives the daughter back and is like, quit being such a bitch. Come on, you know, just give me one little kiss. And then she's like, get off me, stop it. And then Teddy comes in and goes, don't touch her. And then just starts, like, slap fighting.
Yeah.
And then Dylan goes, like, oh, God, come on. But then, like, makes a move to him, and Teddy goes, like, oh, please don't hurt me. So, obviously, he's got the upper hand in this fight, but then goes, like, Jesus Christ, your dad's, like, fists and elbows at me. I gotta get out of here.
I mean, all I wanted to do was rape your daughter. I don't understand what this reaction is.
And that was one where he's like, yeah, get out of here, a pizza face. Yeah, you and your braces. Your big braces.
He didn't really have
white boy pizza face.
Have a pizza face, did he?
No, he's like a Beverly Hills 90210 looking dude. I mean, his name was Dylan.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, and then saving the boy. Because the little boy, he wants to see the eclipse so bad, but nobody's around to take him to the... What did they call it?
It's like a pier or something, like the docks.
Okay, but yeah, he goes, okay, I guess I'll just go on my own to see the eclipse, the solar eclipse. And
so he takes his telescope
onto a raft that's tethered to the docks, but you clearly see somebody pushing it, but that's not... Like, it's that you just see the thing that pushes it. It's meant to be an accident.
I missed that. What I was watching was...
It's like an oar comes into the frame and goes, push it away.
Oh, I didn't see that. That was probably a stagehand. But, like, he has a rope, and he's tying it to his telescope. And I guess to, you know, weigh it down, or to anchor it so he doesn't float away.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he's just got this rope on the raft and then he just floats away.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in that moment, if this fucking kid gets close to a waterfall, I'm gonna lose my goddamn mind.
Oh, as if they would have the budget to film at a waterfall.
But wouldn't that be so great if Teddy comes running in, no! And then you just see the kid about to fall off the waterfall. Ah! That doesn't happen. Instead, he's just kinda...
He's like... 5 feet, maybe, from the shore, from the dock.
Could easily swim, because Teddy just walks in the water.
Well,
because
he could have said, well, like, I can't swim, and then made it deep water, of course. But yeah, he didn't even say he can't swim. And then when Teddy goes in, it's like maybe thigh deep, the water, for Chris Kattan, for a very small adult.
Right.
So,
but then he walks in, and it's thigh deep, and then immediately, like, just falls. Like, I guess there was, like, this ledge that he just, like, fell in, and now all of a sudden it's super deep. And then he gets up on the raft, and he didn't help at all.
Yeah, because now they just have to rescue them both by pulling them back. Right. Presumably the raft is now heavier because he's on it, too.
The kid throws the rope up to the mom. They pull the raft in with the rope. Chris Kattan didn't do anything to save that kid. He just jumped on the raft.
Yeah,
And then they're like, oh my God, you saved him. No, he didn't. He didn't do anything. He just wandered into 2 feet of water, jumped on a raft, and then laid on the raft, all wet and stuff.
And then, well, I mean, it was enough, I guess, to rekindle their broken marriage to the point where she totally wants to fuck this insane person.
Because immediately after that, she is in the guest house, down to fuck. It's like, you know, I just wanted to apologize for being short. Hey, I found it. Oh, by the way, I found a guy who's going to pack up all my granola for me. So that's good. I found a guy with a big truck who's going to bring all my granola. To where? I don't know. I don't have stage two of my business plan. I just make the granola, box it up, and hopefully I get money for it. But hey,
granola plus ? Profit.
You know, like, if you want to, you know, if you want to come into the real house, you know, the offer's...
Yeah, the invitation's out there.
The offer's open. And then they cut to this, like, sad montage song. It's like,
Well, because he feels guilty because he doesn't want to fuck another man's wife.
Right. He's looking at it and he goes like, I gotta tell the truth.
And speaking of songs, can we talk about the music for a fucking second?
I want them to release the score to this movie because it's either bizarre like, yeah, like one guy with a piccolo, or like it's one of the songs when I think Teddy, when Teddy's breaking into the main villain's office, it's just like a guy on a recorder just going like.
It sounded like Oingo Boingo before they became like when they were the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo and they kind of sucked.
But if it's not that.
It's the most obvious public domain music. Not like we've used public domain music and shit, but it's like stuff we found online that's marked public domain. This is like orchestral music, like fucking Mozart's Fifth Symphony and shit.
It's like all of a sudden they cut to the evil guy's house and it goes bum 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 bum. They just use Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, or they're using like the Looney Tunes stuff, like all the like Schubert and Mozart stuff you hear in. Looney Tunes shorts.
But it's stuff you would instantly recognize and go, wow, they had no music budget.
Right.
Oh my god.
That is just crazy enough.
And it's crazy enough. And we haven't even talked to what the sensible, rational Chris Kattan does locked up in the asylum. Never tells anyone, really.
Doesn't do much.
Like,
he doesn't do anything, really.
He doesn't, like, bother to really take the time to explain himself. Because I imagine, like, if he told anybody his name, they would have went, you have no way of knowing that that was the name of the doctor that came here.
They have access to the internet on their lookup machines, as they call them. So why doesn't he just reasonably and rationally go, hey, I know you think I'm this guy Teddy, but really I'm Fred. And if you did a Google search of me, you will see a picture that looks a lot like Teddy, but I'm Fred. Could I take a psych evaluation and prove this to you?
Or could you just listen to the fact that I'm clearly not retarded and that I'm talking like a normal, rational person?
I don't go, I got a pee so bad! I go, could I please use the restroom?
I can hold my bladder.
But he doesn't even do that because he's kind of weird too. Like, when he's getting food, he goes like, can I get the, what's the corn? Is that corn? Corn? No cheese? I don't know. Like,
yeah, kind of Rain Man-ing it, yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously got something wrong with him, too.
Maybe they took the wrong kid.
I think they did.
Like the Simpsons episode where, wait a minute, the scar's on the wrong side.
Yeah, I think what really happened in this movie was Jerry was the sane one. Fred was the insane one.
Jerry?
Teddy, sorry.
Teddy. Well, and Teddy was just sort of made frazzled for all those years being raised in an asylum.
Teddy was the same one.
But he's naturally normal.
Yeah, but
this is an insane guy raised in a normal environment.
Yeah, that's what I
think. So they sort of get equalized.
Yeah, and so they're both kind of just weird. And the one scene I want to talk about is the when Teddy, disguised as Fred, is tucking the children in at night. She goes, yeah, that's when his wife goes, you can say goodnight to the kids, but you're still going to have to sleep in the guest house. So he goes up to his daughter, and he's like, hey, sorry about inviting Colin to dinner. Get the fuck out, Dad. Okay, I'm leaving. And then he goes to his son's room and says, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, clearly he is a stranger who has never met this kid. And the kid's going, oh, Dad, you're the coolest. I want to grow up and be just like you. Because he's going like, oh, what's this stuff? Like, he's never been in the room before. What's this poster you have here? Oh, what's this, a telescope? That's Pluto. It looks like a booger. Yeah, it does, Dad, doesn't it?
And he's a psychiatrist, or at least playing a psychiatrist, and the kid goes, I want to be a scientist just like you.
Right.
But he's, like, building magnets and shit. There's difference between hard science and soft science, and you're doing the different thing.
I want to be just like you, but I can't talk. I don't think I could talk to crazy people all day. I think I'd catch the crazy, you know? Yeah, that's right. Clearly, this man has never talked to this child before, and it's almost kind of creepy and rapey.
Well, I mean, he did talk to him earlier that day when they had their delightful food fight.
That was, yeah, he buys all the wrong groceries
and decides to cook dinner.
Crazy cooking just by throwing eggs everywhere. Here's the eggs! Oh, yeah, Dad. Let's throw the potato chips. And then Chris Kattan goes, you're wasting food! They're starving people in China!
It's just, yeah, all the Chris Kattan improvs.
He's throwing eggs everywhere.
All the Chris Kattan improvs are just so bad. Sometimes you wonder, like, wow, how did this guy not get more movies? There's a reason this guy didn't get more movies. He's just fucking terrible.
Well, and he just looks so bummed to be there in both characters.
Well, I mean, you would too, to be honest. I mean,
I'd make the most of it. I mean, it's a premise that's been done before. It's basically Prince and the Pauper.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's
the Couch Trip did that, didn't it?
I've never seen the Couch Trip.
Oh well.
But it's an interesting way to go. But they're not, the people aren't crazy. Like, all the crazy people in the insane asylum have one thing about them, which is how writers write crazy people, or people with mental illnesses. They have one thing. This guy loves books.
Well, he loves books, and he mistakes fantasy and books for reality.
Right.
So he thinks he knows Willy Wonka and shit.
He's like, did I ever tell you about when I went around the world in 80 days?
Well, and that was a weird scene, because when they first show it, you see like him getting locked up, and he's like, this guy's surrounded by books, and I'm looking at it going like, okay, is he meeting with his psychiatrist?
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's talking like this weird shit, and I'm like, okay, is he doing this weird method of trying to like relate to him? And then no, he's just another crazy person, but they just didn't set it up well.
Who's his roommate?
Yeah.
They have roommates. They're just bunkmates in your thing. And there's one creepy scene where Chris Kattan and Fred is trying to escape. He gets caught, so they inject him with this like thing that makes him pass out.
Yeah.
And then his roommate like crawls up into bed and spoons with him. And I'm like, I'm sure that shit happens all the time, where these guys are like, okay, I don't know what happened. I guess we'll fuck. Why would you put them with people?
I would imagine.
They're probably just fucking all the time. And it's not all men. There's women in here, too, so I'm guessing just all these crazy people are fucking.
Yeah, co-ed fucking.
Fucking a lot.
Yeah.
And they have open showers where they can just walk in and take a shower.
Well, anybody off the street can just walk.
Anybody can just, sure, go ahead and take a shower in our crazy house. That's fine.
And yeah, some of the crazy people, like the one guy that just speaks in like aphorisms.
He's got like anecdotes.
Yeah.
He's like, that's just a drop in a bucket. Okay, all's well that ends well.
And it's like, he's kind of just thing. Like, he's not even really investing in it. He's just a drop in the bucket. Yeah.
Well, then there's, but then the great escape that happens with Chris Kattan and all the mental patients, all of their little quirks add up to something.
Well, I kind of liked the Vietnam guy at
He was the one I liked the
most. Yeah, he's this guy, he's like a paranoid conspiracy guy, but at first I think Chris Kattan thinks he works there because he wears a shirt that kind of looks like an orderly
shirt.
Right. And then, yeah, so he's like, you're going to help me get escape, and then it turns out it's crazy.
But they have set up that crazy people work in the crazy house. The guy who speaks in all anecdotes is a cafeteria worker.
Yeah.
And then there's a woman who's the janitor, and she's also a patient. So they're basically...
What's her thing, even?
I think she doesn't talk.
Oh.
Because she says everything with her notes, and then they switch her notes to say something else.
Oh.
But they're basically getting forced prison labor out of these people.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, you're an inmate, but hey, you're also going to run the fry cook.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that's real. I think they do that, don't they?
Oh, probably. I mean, I used to, not volunteer, but whatever. There's a place for mentally challenged adults where, yeah, they kind of do that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, let's work on the garden and stuff.
Just to give them something to occupy their time.
Right, yeah, and, you know, make them feel like they're being productive members of society. And, yeah, it's also, you know, they'll drive them to, like, work where they'll be, like, a greeter at Walmart or something like that. So that stuff does happen.
And you talk about, like, all their little quirks come into play, but most of the time they really don't. Like, the one guy's, like, really good with numbers, and then they get to this door with a keypad on it, and he just goes, like, basically
4218.
But it's completely random. He has no way of figuring that out. He just like spouts out a random 4-digit number and it works.
Oh, maybe he.
And he's like, yeah, good with numbers. Like
I think he saw the algorithms or something of how they would do the security code there.
But the only one that's useful is the book guy because he knows the Vulcan neck pinch,
right? Which was my favorite scene because they commented It's like they looked into my brain and answered all the questions I had. Because they're about to escape. The guy goes, you can't get anything past these peepers. And then the book guy does the Vulcan nerve pinch. The guy passes out, and he goes, yeah, did I tell you when I was, all my years on the Starfleet Enterprise weren't in vain. And then they turn around like they're about to go, and then they turn back and go, wait, that's a movie and a TV show. That's not a book. And then he pulls out a novelization of Star Trek.
And sort of like sniffs it.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, that was good. Because you answered all of my questions, movie. Because I was about going, Star Trek isn't a book. But this guy's into books.
They're running away. And like he throws the book aside. And Chris Kattan, one of my favorite lines, we don't have time for books. Let's go.
He does that. The last 20 minutes when they're escaping. Lot of exasperated Chris Kattan.
Well, when he's getting admitted too, he's like, "I want to talk to your superior. I am beyond outraged."
Right, and then still like putting in things like, "What? Who are you, DJ Jazzy Jeff or something?" I don't like just all these random references. And then when they're escaping, the black nurse stops him. Says, "Don't you start that car?" And he goes, "What? Is this a Big Mama's house?" Like that's I think what he said. Because he didn't go, like, get out of my way, Big Mama's house. He goes, like, what's a joke about Big Mama's house? Like, I could not.
No, I didn't get it either. I heard Big Mama's house.
He said. But he
which
said.
Which doesn't really make Big much Mama's sense. House. I guess she's a big, fat black lady, but I don't know.
My favorite line of all time. This is probably what starts the insanity. Because then you cut to Teddy admitting to the family, "Hey, I'm really Fred, or I'm not Fred. I'm Teddy. I'm a mental patient." And the mom goes, "Well, where's my husband? Oh, he's okay. What did you do to my husband? He's okay. He's in the insane asylum." Well, you can't just take over someone's life. I mean,
well, it's
and
like
the
daughter
goes, "Well, he did, mom."
He gives no evidence for that. Why are they so confident that he's not just like fucking around with them?
I guess he had a heart-to-heart with the kids first, because he's already sitting with the kids, and then she comes in, gets the information, and the kids are like, yeah, it's true. I mean, we didn't notice for, like, 2 days. This guy isn't our dad. So, she calls the crazy house and goes, hey, I'm sitting here with this guy. He says his name's Teddy. He was switched with my husband, so it's my husband who's in the crazy house. And then the nurse goes, then that means your husband is in a truck full of crazy people! Cut to the mom going, hold on, I have another call. That's supposed to be your dramatic line of like, oh no, we figured it out! And then you cut to him with the crazy, no, it just cuts to... Okay, that's good information.
Well, and no, and here's the most fucked up thing about that is his whole predicament is at first, the first time he gets in there and like, they're thinking he's Teddy, he goes, no, I'm really this guy. Just call my wife. And he goes, okay, give me the number, give me your home number. And he's like, I don't remember my home number. And then there, he suddenly does.
No. Oh, yeah, I guess he does. Yeah, I think that was meant to bring something between the two of them together. Like, no, we're twins. We're brothers. There's a bond between us that can't be... But how they explain that is through a man who is clearly not Chris Kattan, a man who clearly looks nothing like the back of Chris Kattan, talking to Chris Kattan. And all of us, this is the first time they've met. But all of a sudden they're like, boys wanted to have a brother. Yeah, we're brothers now. What?
See, and I think that it would have been funny if... Because, like, they kept kind of doing this thing where the crazy guy is a better husband and father than the regular guy.
Right. And but I think they really don't set up why Fred is a bad husband and father. The only thing, yeah, the only thing he does is say... Oh, no, that's Teddy that says that. When the sun's like, there's a solar eclipse, let's look at it. He goes, I don't have time, that's Teddy.
No, but
the kids. The whole seem to beginning hate the dad
is just
more.
The whole beginning is just they hate each other. They all hate each other.
Right. I mean, Fred seems to be like a good. He's helping out with the granola business,
but then he's not. He's saying, "I got to go, and I'm not going
to
be back."
Right. Well, he has to go. I mean, he got an important call from Mr. Peter Schmidt? I wrote his name down.
Peter Schmidt. Well, his name was...
Philbrook.
Phineas Philbrook.
Phineas Philbrook, the villain of our piece. Which, one of my favorite scenes was, I guess, I don't know why, Teddy is trying to get information. I guess he's trying to get information on Dolores.
Yeah.
Somehow he figures out that Fred's boss is connected to his girlfriend in the insane asylum. Because
he said at the beginning, I looked up on the internet machine to find her father.
Oh, okay. And then he goes to Wrangle.com.
Wrangle.com. Because
obviously they can't use Google. So they go to Wrangle, and they look at the information. And then he dresses up as a janitor, sneaks in. And then there's like three people who go like, good morning, Mr. Philbrook. Good morning, Mr. Philbrook. And then it's just a shot of a woman like in front of a poster going, good morning, Mr. Philbrook. And they go, morning, you're looking good. So this is our villain who... I guess he's evil. Because at the end of the movie, the guy who's good with wires switches the speaker system around at his big political rally, which... when he goes... When Phineas Philbrook... And this is right after the water scene, the raft scene.
Yeah.
When Phineas Philbrook goes to confront Fred, who is Teddy, he goes... And don't you interrupt my speech! So we set up that he's got a big speech tomorrow. So then they go in and then somehow they just have to, you know, give him his comeuppance.
So,
even
yeah.
though we've never seen him do anything bad.
Well, no, he's the guy that kept the daughter.
He committed Dolores, but we don't know that as an audience. We don't know why he committed Dolores.
Oh, I get it. Well...
We don't know that until the last moment when he just kind of brushes it off, going, yeah, I had a family, and that's why I committed
well,
you.
I guess.
And I'm just going to deny everything, and you can't prove that I'm really your father. Meanwhile, his mic's on, and everybody's hearing it.
Okay, but no, that's the thing. Because he has, like, a standing mic at his podium. So somehow he rewires the mic so that just, like, ambient noise... throughout the entire fairgrounds is being picked up.
Well, he does have a stand mic, but then when he walks away from the stand mic, he's still being broadcast through the speakers, so he must have a mic on his lapel is the thing, I guess is the what they're trying to go for. Because it's also picking up very clearly Chris Kattan and his wife and Dolores talking about this whole situation. Mm. And then it ends with the guy going, he comes back up to the stand, hey everybody, here's my speech, and some guy goes,
what about family
values? What about family values? Boo! We overheard everything you just said, even though we'd have no way of understanding that it was you or what the hell you were talking about. But now we all know you're evil and your career's over. Then
after that, yeah, he's thwarted and they win. And yeah, Chris Kattan and Chris Kattan
no sense.
Have their moment of like, oh, I always wanted a brother. Me too. Didn't you always feel like something was missing? Even though we've never mentioned that before until right now.
We've never had a scene together. I've never gone like there should have been something like he goes to visit his mom or something and is and then realizes he's adopted. They never even bring up the fact that Fred is adopted. Like.
No.
They could have had, like, one line where he's like, well, you know, I never knew my dad, but... And I'm like, oh, there you go. That's all you gotta do. He talks to the son for 1 second. Yeah, I never knew my dad because I was adopted, and, you know, maybe the kids, because the kids are fighting and squabbling. You know, I always wanted to have a sibling, and that's why when I met your mother, we had two kids, because I always wanted to have a sibling, and now you guys have each other. So you... There could have been way more explanation of who the fuck these people were.
Well...
And then...
I mean, come on. Considering what they gave us for an ending, where they go back to the nurse, and she's like, and Chris Kattan's like, you gotta get a good lawyer. And she's like, it wasn't my fault that this switch happened. You gotta can't blame me. No. You gotta get a lawyer, because I'm gonna, I guess, adopt Ted?
He's is that what he's saying? Adopt Teddy.
Yeah. I gotta sign him out and adopt him. And he's like, well, she's like, well, the book says, oh, to hell with the book.
That's right. I was trying to remember what she said. The book says... Aw, to hell with the book. You tell Teddy he got a new family.
And then cut the end. Like, it's so abrupt. And then it's just, like, more shitty flash animation of them, like, going on vacation.
Like, they're skiing. And, like, I don't know which one's the retarded one. Because they have, like, them together. Like, one, like, I guess they take over the mental institution at the end because they're together in front of the mental institution.
Peter Schmidt and the guy goes to jail.
Right. They have a shot of them in jail as a cartoon, and then a shot of them skiing with one of the Chris Kattans, like, about to fall off the cliff skiing. But I'm like, the other Chris Kattan was just as stupid. Like, both of these people are clearly on the spectrum of autism,
and
at least.
And the thing is, like, the tone of the movie is not the tone of a comedy. Never mind that it's not funny. It's almost like a horror movie, or like a weird thriller where this would happen. Because, like, crazy Chris Kattan is playing it, like, clinically crazy, not comedy crazy for, like, the beginning of it. And it almost feels like if you were in this situation, it would be really horrible. And, like, because they're not making jokes, he's just, like, mistaken identity. It's like, wow, this is a kind of a weird thriller drama.
Yeah, and at no point when sane Chris Kattan is in the mental institution does he ever seem to think about his family. Like,
no.
He never even puts together, I guess the one moment. There's one moment where he's looking at pictures of all the insane asylum people. And then he sees himself, which, again, wouldn't you go, like, that's like a Shining moment, you know? Like, at the end of The Shining, when Jack Nicholson's in the picture, you're like, oh, whoa, that's like, you're looking at all these crazy people, and then you see yourself, and you're like, wouldn't that make you go, like, holy shit, like, I wouldn't jump to, oh, I have a twin brother that I never knew about, or this guy looks exactly like me. I'd be like, oh my god, maybe I am crazy, maybe I've been in here my whole life.
Really? That's the first thing you would assume?
Yeah, if I'm in an insane asylum and I'm like, I gotta get out of here, if I saw a picture of myself just looking all stupid, I'd be like, holy shit, maybe I, like, that's where my mind would go. I'd go, oh my god, maybe I'm insane, and I am a mental patient.
And all of your memories of your normal life are a lie.
Yeah!
See, I don't know if I would jump to that conclusion myself.
But then, he never made. They don't know who they are. They don't. And then at the end, they meet and they're like, "Yep, we're brothers. We're twins, and that counts for something."
Well, no. If I found out I had a long lost brother, I'd want to get to know him.
Right, but he doesn't. He never makes that conclusion ever until he meets the bad Chris Kattan stand-in, and then goes, "Oh, yeah, I guess you're my twin brother." Like, there's never a moment in the insane asylum where. Or when Chris Kattan, when Teddy is out, he should make, or, there should be something where they recognize the fact that they look exactly
alike. Because in
another
movie, in a better movie, they would have had a scene in a hospital with, like, the mom giving birth to twins and sort of setting up that conundrum. And sort of, and then, doing all the stuff you do with the additional lines of dialogue. But they, like, that would have had to get them, like, a set. And a fake pregnancy stomach and a lot of shit that they just weren't budgeted for,
obviously. Well, at least one moment, Chris Kattan finds another Chris Kattan and goes, oh, this is my key to escape. I'm not going to question the fact that this guy looks exactly like me. And then Chris Kattan is in the mental institution, sees another guy, oh, I guess I'm in the mental institution, not going to question that this guy looks exactly like me. Then they meet and go, I guess we're twins. So,
yeah, but, like, they didn't.
They
do
don't
that.
Even know they're twins. It could just be a thing where they look exactly alike for some reason.
But fucking Ernest Goes to Jail didn't even go as far as making them brothers. It's just like, this guy looks exactly like me somehow.
I think it should have been that. They shouldn't have been related at all.
Well, that makes even less sense.
So, sometimes people just look exactly like each other.
See, that would have been good if they were willing to go dark with it and have the crazy guy, like, actively taking over the sane one's life. Like, he doesn't have the moral quandary. Like, he literally fucks the wife and kind of becomes, like, sort of the antagonist.
Yeah, I was looking forward to retard sex. Honestly. Like, I wanted that. Like, in Multiplicity.
Yeah, I was about to say Multiplicity with the retards.
Yeah, they all have sex with his wife. He's like, do y'all have sex with my wife? Like, that would have been great. If, like, they meet and he's like, you didn't fuck my wife, did you? Oh, yeah, I did. Like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to live with that shit.
Especially if they were brothers, and they, like, I always wanted a brother. Wait a minute, you didn't have sex with my wife, did you?
Did you fuck my wife? Yeah. And, like, the retarded Chris Kattan's like, I did! Fucked a good! That would at least been something.
How many of these podcasts have we went, you know, this movie is so much
know what this
better.
Movie needed? If just everybody started fucking all of a sudden? Like, they just started fucking? That'd be
it
great.
It would make so many movies that much better. Okay.
But this movie, I would recommend, since it's on Netflix, watch the first 5 minutes, skip over for an hour, and then watch the last 20.
Don't watch enough of it that Netflix will start recommending other movies like it. Because I had that problem with, I watched Dead Heat, and then it recommended Brain Smasher, A Love Story, some Andrew Dice Clay movie. And I went, oh, what's this? Maybe I'll like it, because it says Dead Heat. Terrible movie, and now it's recommending nothing but shit.
Yeah, Netflix doesn't really have the algorithms they think they do on what you would like. Because, yeah, I watch Breaking Bad. You might like a big pile of shit. Oh, maybe I would. I guess Netflix says I should.
Oh, my Netflix. My mom also watches my Netflix, so my Netflix thinks I'm gay.
Well, I have a bunch of people. I have my roommate, my dad, and then when you were still in my Netflix, so it's always like, you'll like Star Trek. You'll like JFK conspiracies. You'll like Drag Queens of Palooza. I'm like, well, I guess I have an eclectic taste when it comes to Netflix.
But anyway, we're fishing through the hat, and because we didn't get a chance to do his movie last time, he's fishing through the hat again.
I wasn't in love with the idea of watching Hollywood and Wine.
Or Delgo.
Or
Corky Romano.
Chris Kattan was a bad guy to put in the hat. I assumed...
I want to see Santa Slay at some point.
Well, I assumed when I put Chris Kattan in the hat...
That he'd done more
that
movies.
He had done at least 7 movies.
But now you know why he didn't.
Okay, well, he's out of the hat forever.
Oh, you're not putting him back? Oh, no, then we can't watch Santa Slay.
All right, I'll put him back in the hat when we're done with everybody else. But my actor that I'm picking out of the hat is, Randy Quaid! So, here, I'm going to pause this because I have to do some research here. Okay, so Randy Quaid's filmography, he started out, his first movie was Last Picture Show. And then he got an Oscar nomination for Last Detail. He's in Paper Moon.
This isn't a Randy Quaid history podcast.
I know. Well, he's okay. I got one that I like.
What are we talking about?
That's a good one, too. Have you ever seen Parents?
Oh, I love Parents.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. But do we do good movies, though? That's the thing.
Right.
I'd watch Parents if you're going to do that. I have it on VHS if you've got it.
No, Parents is awesome. I love Freaked. Bye Bye Love is a good bad one. Just because of
all the... Is
that
Paul Reiser?
Yeah.
No.
And it's also the movie with the most, like, product placement ever, I think. It has to be. They go to McDonald's, like, 20 times in that movie, and it's just, like, McDonald's posters everywhere.
I've only seen Freaked once when it first came out.
Freaked is really good. I really enjoy Freaked. Right now, I'm in between... what was the other one I had? Moving... Which I...
Is that the Richard Pryor movie?
Yeah. I remember loving that as a kid, so that'd be fun to revisit. Moving or Heartbeeps?
Oh my god, how are we not doing Heartbeeps?
I guess I'll pick Heartbeeps.
Fuck you for thinking of anything else.
If I remember correctly, Randy Quaid is in one scene in Heartbeeps.
Oh, as if we haven't done that before.
Right, we've done Father Guido Sardicci. So... All right, I'll pick Heartbeeps. I think it's easy to find. I mean,
you own it, don't you?
I don't know. Somebody stole it. I had a party, and someone put Heartbeeps in the VHS player, and now, like, the next day, I couldn't find it. I think someone went, like, death to this movie! Because it's a fucking horrible movie. But
I've never seen it. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never actually sat down and watched it.
I mean, it would be interesting to dissect just how bad of an idea that movie is.
Well, but, okay. I think that's our best bet.
I'll pick Heartbeeps.
We're going with Heartbeeps. Oh, prepare for that, everybody. So
the Andy Kaufman Bernadette Peters film.
And Andy Kaufman was an SNL mainstay, not
that's
another
true.
Cast member.
That's true, but they play robots that do nothing.
Well, don't they fall in love?
Yeah, that's all they do. And then they just walk around... robots.
Well,
what is love? And then they fall in love. Yeah, I'd be interested to see it again. Because I remember, like, really being excited to see it. I'm like, this can't be bad. It's got Andy Kaufman. He's a genius.
Have you ever heard of a movie called In God We Trust? Marty Feldman wrote it and directed it.
No.
And it's got Andy Kaufman as a fundamentalist preacher who worships a god that turns out to be, like, a supercomputer.
Oh, yeah.
I read about it. I've never seen it, but I fucking desperately want to see it. I've got to track it down. But
Heartbeeps for next week.
And he's also in God Told Me To, where...
I've seen that.
Aliens are telling people to kill.
I've seen that one. But, yeah, is that the one where he just has, like, a cameo?
He's, like, a cop or something.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
He gets killed.
But, Heartbeeps has Randy Quaid in it.
All right.
On a season of SNL and 2 minutes in this movie, so it's worth watching for that.
So that counts. So, let rain, Lamar. Let motherfucking rain.
Let rain.